playing the Minuteman this month. hope everybody had a good week and is having a good summer. I would like to start our sermon with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for today and all that you've given to us. I pray that you'll be with us as we open up your word, Lord, that we'll be encouraged to continue to do your will, that we'll be encouraged to be a light one to another and those around us, that we'll be encouraged to spread the gospel, that others may be saved, that others may know of your love, that others may know that there is a better way. I pray that you will help us this Sabbath day to keep it holy and to continue to strive to do what you ask us to. I pray in your name. Amen. So I would like to continue on the subject of obedience. I know David talked about that last week, Elder Miguel, so I'd like to continue on that. Our sermon title is Blessings of Obedience. Blessings of Obedience. Imagine, if you will, that you work for a company whose president found it necessary to travel out of the country and spend an extended period of time abroad. So he says to you and other trusted employees, "Look, I'm going to leave. And while I'm gone, I want you to pay close attention to the business. You manage things while I'm away. I will write you regularly. When I do, I will instruct you in what you should do from now on, or what you should do from now until I return from this trip." So everyone in the company agrees. He leaves and stays gone for a couple of years. During that time, he writes often, communicating his desires and concerns. Finally, he returns. He walks up to the front door of the company and immediately discovers everything is in a mess. Weeds flourishing in the flower beds, windows broken across the front of the building, the gal at the front desk dozing, loud music roaring from several offices, two or three people engaged in horseplay in the back of the room. Instead of making a profit, the business has suffered a great loss. Without hesitation, he calls everyone together and with a frown asks, "What happened? Didn't you get my letters?" You say, "Oh yeah, sure. We got your letters. We've even bound them in a book. And some of us have memorized them. In fact, we have letter study every Sunday or Saturday. You know, those were really great letters." I think the president would then ask, "But what did you do about my instructions?" And no doubt the employees would respond, "Do? Well, nothing. But we read every one." As Christians and members of the household of faith, we can all relate to this story at some point in our Christian walk. You see, Jesus has left us instructions on how to live our lives here on this earth. He has entrusted us with specific directions to help us live godly lives that will in turn help us to be successful here in this life, that will help us to be good examples to those around us in this life, that will testify to others that his laws and commands, when followed, reap blessings and rewards in this life. But for many of us, we choose not to follow God's directions. For many of us, we may choose to follow only some of God's directions, and thus we don't reap the blessings and rewards that God had in store for us, and we bring shame and dishonor to his name. For God gives us specific directions about how we are to treat our bodies, recognizing that it is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and many of us choose not to follow these directions and end up getting diseases or illnesses that could have been avoided if we listened and followed God's directions. God has given us directions on how to treat others, whether they are part of our immediate family, or those we work with, or those we fellowship at church with, and many of us choose not to follow those directions. And thus we experience undue stress, bitterness, resentment, and division, to the point where we no longer have the peace and joy that God intended us to have in this life. God has given us directions on how to keep the Sabbath, and many of us have refused to follow these directions, and thus we don't experience the peace, rest, and joy that God intended us to have in this life. And as a story that we just read related to us, many of us can read the Word of God on these topics and discuss them on Sabbath and during the week, and that's great. But if we're not living by the principles of the Word of God, it has no meaning for us. The Bible just becomes words, having really no impact on our lives. We continue to suffer from stress and depression and anger and resentment and envy and bitterness and selfishness because we choose not to follow God's laws and commands, and thus we can't reap the benefits and blessings that God has intended for us to have. So you may ask, how can I be obedient to God's laws and commandments? Even though I have been baptized, they seem to be too hard for me to follow. I come from a troubled and dysfunctional background. I come from a background where my parents let me do whatever I want. I come from a background where I've been so emotionally scarred that it just seems impossible to follow God's laws and commandments. I come from a background where meekness is considered weakness, and if I should follow God's commandments, I would appear weak in others' eyes. Well, despite all the excuses that you may give for not following God's commandments completely and fully, I'm here to remind you that He is able to accomplish the work that He has started in you. He can give you the victory over your sins and idols. God can make you more than a conqueror through Him who has loved you. And yes, there are blessings and rewards in this life for being obedient to God's commandments, and there are blessings and rewards in the life to come. So, how can we learn to be obedient to God's commandments? Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. It states, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." So here we see that we have to first allow God not just to forgive us of our sins, but to cleanse us from our sins. We must allow Him to cleanse us from our filthiness and our idols, and then He can give us a new heart and a new spirit within us. He can take out of us a heart of stone, which is a heart that does not want to listen to God. It's a heart that is selfish and prideful, that feels that it does not need God or does not need Him all the time. And then He can give us a heart of flesh, which is a heart that submits ourselves to Him, a heart that is open to receiving His love and grace, a heart that is willing to serve and obey Him, even under trying circumstances. And as we submit and surrender our hearts to God, and He puts His Spirit upon us, every day and every moment of our lives, He will cause us to walk in His statutes and to keep His laws and commandments. Just know and understand that this whole process is a daily process. It's not a process that we must go through just at baptism, but daily we must go through this process Let me say that again. But daily we must go through this process as we grow in Christ. Psalm 119, 133. Psalm 119, verse 133. We're talking about how we can learn to be obedient. Psalm 119, 133 says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Here we see that we can have God order our steps as we walk this path of sanctification. And we can have him order our steps by allowing his word to guide and direct us in this path of sanctification. For as our story in the beginning of our sermon so plainly laid out to us, that it's not just about reading or hearing the word of God. The word of God will continue to have no effect on us if we just read or study the word and don't apply it to our everyday lives. We won't experience the true benefits and blessings of God's word if we're not living by God's word. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 11. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 11 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given us unto all things, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, which is love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So here we see something extremely important in our Christian walk. We read here from 2 Peter that we don't have to follow all of God's commandments right after we have been baptized into the faith. We can incorporate God's law and commandments one step at a time. For starting in verse 5, it says, we can first add to our faith virtue, which is behavior showing high moral standards. And then from virtue, we can add knowledge, a knowledge of the word of God. And then from knowledge, we can add temperance, which is having a healthy diet. And from temperance, we can add patience in our Christian walk. And then from patience, we can add godliness. And then from godliness, we can add brotherly kindness. And then from brotherly kindness, we can add the last step in our Christian walk, which is love. Love for God and love for our fellow man. And when we follow this path of sanctification, we have made our calling and election sure. For if we do all these things, we shall never fall and will have an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior. I don't know where you are on this path of sanctification, but I do know that with God's help and your diligence, you can overcome your sins and idols and be more than a conqueror through him that loves you. Psalm 119, 10 and 11. Psalm 119, 10 and 11 says, "With my whole heart I have sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You see, from the time we get baptized until now, we should be seeking God with our whole hearts. We should be asking God for the strength and power not to wander from his commandments. It also states in verse 11 that when we hide God's word in our hearts, that we will not sin against him. When we let his word guide and direct our every step along this path of sanctification, we can rest assured that we will not fall and that we will bring glory and honor to his name. John 15:4-8. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, same, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So here we see some very important things from these verses. First of all, the reason why I believe many of us fall and slip in our Christian walk is because we don't continually abide or keep in connection with Christ and his power. I'll say that again. First of all, the reason I believe that many of us fall and slip in our Christian walk is because we don't continually abide or keep in connection with Christ and his power. For verse 4 says that in order to bear fruit in our Christian walk, we must continually abide or be in connection with Christ. We must understand that without Christ's strength and power to overcome our sins and idols on a daily basis, we will continue to allow those sins and idols to have dominion over us. We will eventually be cast forth as a branch and wither away, or not be a part of God's faithful, and not be a part of God's faithful people, and one day suffer the eternal consequences of not being saved. But if we are learning how to abide in Christ, and his words are abiding in us, we can ask what we will, and it will be done for us, because we are asking for things that are in accordance with his will. And thus our Heavenly Father will be glorified, because we are now truly his disciples and ambassadors in bearing fruits unto him. So you may ask, who exemplified this complete and total obedience to God's law and precepts? Was there anyone who had so much love for God that he followed explicitly all of his commandments and reaped the benefits and blessings of obedience? Genesis 5:21-24, it says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews 11:5-6. Hebrews 11:5-6 says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, Enoch was able to walk with God for as much as 300 years because he had the faith to believe in God's word, that when he follows God's commands, that he would reap the benefits and blessings of obedience. He had the faith to believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And thus Enoch developed such a close walk with God that God took him to himself, and he was able to not see death. What a beautiful testimony of what God could do for an individual who constantly abided in him and connected with his love and power. Ellen White comments on the beautiful testimony of Enoch in Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 85 to 87. Just skipping around, Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 85 to 87. Enoch's walk with God was not in a trance or a vision, but in all the duties of his daily life. He did not become a hermit, shutting himself entirely from the world. By the way, he lived in the antediluvian world before the flood, which was more wicked than the world that we live in today. For he had a work to do for God and the world. In the family and in his intercourse with men, as a husband and father, a friend, a citizen, he was the steadfast, unwavering servant of the Lord. In the midst of a life of active labor, Enoch steadfastly maintained his communion with God. The greater and more pressing his labors, the more constant and earnest were his prayers. The greater and more stresses he may have had to deal with, the more constant and earnest was his prayers. The greater and more work he had to do, the more constant and earnest were his prayers. For 300 years, Enoch had been seeking purity of soul that he might be in harmony with heaven. Day by day, he longed for a closer union. Nearer and nearer had grown the communion until God took him to himself. He had stood at the threshold of the eternal world, only a step between him and the land of the blessed. And now the portals opened. The walk with God so long pursued on earth continued, and he passed through the gates of the holy city, the first from among men to enter there. There are a few very important points from this passage about Enoch. First, in every area of his life, he sought to please God, whether it was as a husband, a father, a friend, or a citizen. In all of his intercourses with men, he sought to please God and to be a right example for others to follow. Another very important point of this passage was that the greater and more pressing that Enoch's labors were, the more earnest was his prayers. The last very important point of this passage was that Enoch was always seeking to have a closer communion with God. He was always seeking to go higher in his relationship with God. He was always seeking to get to know God more intimately through prayer and study of his word, to the point where God took Enoch to himself. What a deep and living experience that Enoch had with God, that he was able to walk with him for 300 years. By the way, did I say that he lived in a world that was worse than us? They were doing things in that world, the antediluvian world, that is worse than what you see today. So what about us? Are we seeking to incorporate the principles of God's word in every area of our life so that we can experience the blessings of obedience? Do our prayers become more earnest to God as we accumulate more labors and stresses and responsibilities in this life that we can remain pleasing to God and experience the blessings of obedience? Are we seeking to become closer and closer to God and to be nearer and nearer in our communion with God to the point where we are reflecting him in every area of our life and experiencing the blessings of obedience? Well, I hope we can have a beautiful testimony such as Enoch had while he was on earth, that we are pleasing to God in everything we do by abiding in him daily and having his word abide in us. And thus, we can experience the blessings of obedience, not just in the hereafter, but in the here and now. So you may ask, what are some of the blessings that I can experience while here on earth, if I'm faithful and obedient to God's laws and commandments? Is my current lifestyle, even after my baptism in this faith, really pleasing to God? Or am I living by my own standards and not incorporating all of God's commands or striving to incorporate all of God's commands in my life? Do I really believe and have the faith that I will experience these blessings that God has promised me if I live a life pleasing to Him? Or do I feel that my own lifestyle and standards is more beneficial to me? Has church become a place for me where I can just listen to the Word of God, hang out with people that I like, and I can go home afterwards and continue living the same lifestyle that is contrary to the Word of God? Psalms 19, 7 to 11. We're talking about the blessings of obedience in the here and now while we are here on earth. Psalm 19, 7 to 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. You see, when we truly hide God's law in our hearts, it can truly convert our souls. And we can live by God's word daily and hourly and know that our faith and dedication yields a great reward in this life. And our hearts can rejoice that we are abiding in Christ and that His word is in us. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 9. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 9 discusses some of these rewards. God was speaking to Israel when they were traveling to their promised land, but it can be applicable to us as well. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed thou shalt be when thou comest in, and blessed thou shalt be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, and as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Amen. You see, when you decide to follow God, not just at baptism, but decide to follow him daily by abiding in him and his word abiding in you, you will experience these many blessings that is being talked about here in these verses. You will experience the blessing of wherever you go, whether in the city or at work, that others will know that something is different about you and the Spirit of God rests upon you. You will experience the blessing of health and well-being and know that whatever your hands find to do, your work and labor will be fruitful and successful. You will experience the blessing of God's protection whenever you go out and come in. You will be blessed to the point where your enemies will not be able to affect you in any meaningful way, and God will form a hedge around you that they cannot penetrate. And these blessings can continue to be a part of your life as you continue to grow in your Christian walk with God, learning to abide in him daily and hourly and not breaking that connection with him. And even if you don't always experience these blessings, as trials and tribulations do come to us from time to time, you can rest assured that God will grant you the peace, joy, and patience to get through those times. For he says in Isaiah 26:3, we shall have perfect peace because our minds are stayed on him. I want to repeat that because I think it's important. You can experience the blessing of wherever you go, whether in the city or at work, that others will know that something is different about you and the Spirit of God rests upon you. You will experience the blessing of health and well-being and know that whatever your hands find to do, your work and labor will be fruitful and successful. You will experience the blessing of God's protection whenever you go out and come in. You'll be blessed to the point where your enemies will not be able to affect you in any meaningful way, and God will form a hedge around you that they cannot penetrate. And these blessings can continue to be a part of your life as you continue to grow in your Christian walk with God, learning to abide in him daily and hourly and not breaking that connection with him. And even if you don't always experience these blessings, as trials and tribulations do come to us from time to time, you can rest assured that God will grant you the peace, joy, and patience to get you through those times. For he says in Isaiah 26:3, we shall have perfect peace because our minds are stayed on him. Psalms 119:165. Great peace have those which love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Great peace have those which love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Here we see that another important blessing that God has for us when we're obedient to his law and truly love his law is that we can have that great peace. We can have the peace and joy and assurance that God is with us in this life, guiding us and directing our steps along this path of sanctification. And when we fall in love with him and his word, nothing shall cause us to stumble. Matthew 5:13-16. Matthew 5:13-16. Another very important blessing of obedience. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So here we see another great blessing of living the truth fully in our lives on earth is to be able to be a light or salt to others. We can be a light to our family, a light to our coworkers, a light to our community, that as they see us abiding in Christ daily and hourly, and his word is abiding in us daily and hourly, they will be able to see our good works and glorify our God, which is in heaven. You see, it's not that we know all the scriptures from memory that makes an impact in our families and our community. It's not that we go to church every Sabbath that makes an impact on our families and community. It's not that we know all the doctrines of our faith that makes an impact on our families and community. It's the fact that our families and community can see us abiding in Christ and his word abiding in us. It's the fact that we are bearing fruits unto God. It's the fact that we are living by God's laws and commandments. This is what makes the greatest impact on our families and our community, that they may see our good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. So I want to repeat that one more time. We can be a light to our family, a light to our coworkers, a light to our community, that as they see us abiding in Christ daily and hourly, and his word abiding in us daily and hourly, they will be able to see our good works and glorify our God, which is in heaven. You see, it's not that we know all the scriptures from memory that makes an impact in our families and our community. It's not that we go to church every Sabbath that makes an impact on our families and our community. It's not that we know all the doctrines of our faith that makes an impact on our families and community. It's the fact that our families and community can see us abiding in Christ and his word abiding in us. It's the fact that we are bearing fruits unto God. It's the fact that we're living by God's laws and commandments. This is what makes the greatest impact on our families and our community, that they may see our good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. Daniel 12:3 says, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." So here we see that those of us who are wise and who turn many to righteousness shall shine like the brightness of the firmament and like the stars forever and ever, because they are abiding in God and his word is abiding in them, and thus they are bearing fruits unto God. They are letting their light shine before men that they can now turn from sin to righteousness. Our last slide here. What are the blessings of obedience in the hereafter? Many of us know them, but I just want to review them really quick. Matthew 5:3-12. Matthew 5:3-12. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets who were before you." So here we see some of the blessings of the hereafter. For if we are faithful and are poor in spirit, which means being humble, we shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. If we strive for and attain the spirit of meekness, which means being under self-control, God promises us that we will inherit the earth. If we strive for and attain to being pure in heart, we shall be blessed to see God the Father and the Son one day. If we strive for and attain to being peacemakers, which are those who look to unify and get along with others and not divide and separate one another, we shall be called the sons of God. And if we should suffer persecution in this world, especially in the end times, we can rest assured our reward will be great in heaven. I hope and pray that all of us here will understand the importance of abiding in God and his word, abiding in us, that we can bear fruits unto God and be able to experience the extraordinary and magnificent blessings that God has in store for us, his faithful children. In James 1:12, it says, "Blessed is the man who endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Here we see that when we have been faithful to God in enduring temptation, in overcoming our sins and our idols, in learning how to abide in him, that in the end we shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to us who truly love him. Revelation 3:11-12. It says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I'll write upon him my new name." So here we see that Jesus is coming soon and that we must hold on to what we have and embrace it. We must embrace the knowledge that we must learn to abide in God and that his word must abide in us, that we can bear fruits unto him and that no man can take our crown. These verses also promises us that God will write upon us a new name because we have overcome our sins and our idols, by trusting in his power and strength. Revelation 21, 6 to 8 says, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So here we see two groups of people in the end time. The first group are those who have overcome through the power and strength of Christ and will inherit all things, drinking of the fountain of the water of life freely. The second group are those who have not overcome their sins and idols because they did not trust and have faith in the power of God to transform their lives, and thus they will not be able to inherit eternal life, but eternal damnation. My question to you is, what group of people will you choose to be a part of in the end time? Will you learn to abide in God and learn to have his word abide in you, that you can bear fruits unto him? Or will you continue to just listen to the word of God and decide not to incorporate it into your daily life and thus suffer the eternal consequences of damnation and death because you chose not to trust in God's power and strength to transform you into the man and woman that he wants you to be? The choice is yours. Our last scripture, Revelation 22:10-14. Revelation 22:10-14 says, "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." So here we see a very solemn point in these verses. There will come a point as we near the end of Earth's history that we will no longer have an intercessor for us. Christ would have finished his work of redemption. For it says in verse 11, "Let those who are filthy, let them be filthy still. And those who are righteous, let them be righteous still." So the question is, shall we take the time allotted to us now to hide God's word in our hearts, that we may not sin against him, or wait until it is too late? Shall we take the time allotted now to learn to abide in God and learn to have his word abide in us, that we can bear fruits unto God? Or do we wait until it's too late? Shall we take the time allotted to us now to not just hear the word of God, but to incorporate it in every area of our life, even as Enoch did, that we may reap the blessings, not just in the hereafter, but in the here and now? May God help us to make the wise choice that for us and our house, we will serve the Lord. May God help us to understand that we reap blessings and rewards when we are obedient to his will. We can be a blessing to those around us and be a light to others, that they may see our good works and glorify God in heaven. And thus, for those who have been faithful to his commandments, we can have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates of that celestial city and dwell with God forevermore. May God continue to bless us and help us as we travel this path of sanctification. God bless you.
Please stand as we sing our closing song.
Thank you, Brother Gillette, for the beautiful message. Marching to heaven.
So we close with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the day and all that you've given to us. I pray, Lord, that we'll be encouraged today to continue to walk this path, Lord, as we make our way back to heaven, Lord. I pray that we will be encouraged to spread your word to others. I pray that we'll be encouraged to live your word, Lord, that we can be an open